Blog Talk Radio.
Frisky's World.
It keeps getting better here.
With natural wild-caught tuna. It's new Frisky's Wild Favorites.
Frisky's Farm Favorites with real farm-raised chicken.
Delicious for real.
Feed their fantasy.
You're now tuned into WBNN News Forum, brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia, with host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla Jonesia.
Hey everybody, this is your girl Chinchilla Jonesia, aka Chinchilla J, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. Tonight is May 1st, 2022, the first Sunday in the fifth month of the year 2022. And tonight on News Forum, Injustices in America, Part 1. The FBI, the Federal Bureau of Injustice, from covering up hate crimes to wrongful convictions. Tonight on News Forum, Injustices in America. We're going to be talking about the FBI. Some of you may call it the Federal Bureau of Investigation. Well, I call it the Federal Bureau of Injustice. We're going to take a look at crimes of hate across this country, racism, discrimination, and of course, injustice. From covering up hate crimes to wrongful convictions, legal executions, extreme racism, and other crimes, my question is, why do criminals walk away while innocent people do time for a crime that they did not commit? And why is there under-sentencing for some and over-sentencing for others while America's criminal injustice system but fathers and mothers and sisters and brothers? This horrible criminal injustice system called the United States government, it rips apart and destroys families. It rips apart and causes irreparable damage and destruction to families across this country. And this type of cult practice has to stop. Will there ever be justice in America? Again, the answer to that question, we have to and we must change legislation and enact laws of justice in America. Tonight, you will hear the story of a young man, Jerry Chambers, now 18, but at the age of 16, Jerry was the victim of hate crime in Powhatan, Virginia. And wow, the FBI and the police department tried to sweep this under the rug. The FBI said that it was not a hate crime. And what these racist people did to Jerry, it was not illegal and it was no crime. Wow. I tell you, the things that black and brown people have to suffer and go through in this country, it's just outrageous, it's horrendous, and something needs to be done. So guess what? Don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. News Forum with your girl Chinchilla J. We'll be right back after this. Melissa Lucio, who was scheduled to be executed by the state of Texas last Wednesday, April 27th. Melissa Lucio's son, John Lucio, was a guest on News Forum last Sunday, 3 days before Melissa's scheduled execution. Last week, while John was on News Forum, investigative reporter Chinchilla Jonesia told John that his mother would not be executed, and she was not. The very next day, the criminal appeals court in Texas issued an order to stop the execution of Melissa Lucio. And here is the reaction from her son John and also his wife Michelle. Take a listen.
We are just, my husband cannot speak right now, he's actually driving. We are just overwhelmed with so much joy. Like, this is, we are so grateful for everybody and every single body that has fought so hard for her. We are just in so much disbelief right now. I mean, we knew this was going to happen. This is what we were praying for.
I'm 5 minutes, less than 5 minutes away from gate 3 now. I'm going back to visit my mom and go celebrate with her.
The Lucio family also held a press conference that same evening. Take a listen.
We're just one big old team, you know, putting up the fight for my mother, Melissa Elizabeth Lucio. Today, we got the great news. We're actually in the middle of an interview, and we got the great news. I had got a phone call, and when we received that phone call, the phone call was T-Bone, the lawyer, and he asked me if I had received the great news. He asked me if I received the news, and I didn't know what the news was. And I said, no, sir, I haven't. And then he says, your mother got a stay of execution.
Yes.
Right. She got a stay of execution, and she won't be heading to Huntsville Wednesday, which was, I mean, at that time, it was hard. Like, April 27th is still there, and so when I see April 27th pass and it's April 28th, that's when it's really going to be, you know, I mean, it's exciting, it's overwhelming, it's the same way she's been on execution with the death row, with the execution days, and it was hard for us to believe. Many people have asked if we had prepared for this. No, we haven't, you know, I mean, the same thing with the day of execution, April 27th is still there. I mean, we just live day for day, and we're just, we're going to believe in God, and we're going to continue believing in Him and keep our faith up with Him and keep on fighting this fight until we bring her home. She's no longer going to be executed. My mother will be free soon. And I just want to say thank you and God bless everybody.
And now, listen to Melissa Lucio's reaction when she found out that she was no longer going to be legally murdered by the state of Texas.
Hello?
Melissa.
Yes.
Hey, this is Jeff Leach.
Yes, sir.
How are you today?
I'm doing fine. How are you?
Good. Have you heard the news?
No, what?
You haven't heard the news yet?
No, what happened?
The Court of Criminal Appeals issued a stay of your execution for Wednesday. We just got word about 15 minutes ago.
Oh, my God. That is wonderful. Oh, my God. What does that mean?
Well, it means you're going to wake up on Thursday morning.
Oh, my goodness.
And, You're not making the trip to Huntsville on Wednesday, and the order was very strong in that it appears that you're gonna get a new trial at the very least. They.
Oh my goodness, that is so wonderful! Thank you so much.
Chinchilla Jonesia reporting, WBNN News Forum. Congratulations to Melissa Lucio, John Lucio, and their entire family. The next thing is to free Melissa from that hellhole of a prison. Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice would like to thank sponsor Sound Therapy with Magic Man Peru LLC, offering sound therapy as a form to bring the best instead of the beast out of us. Thank you, Magic Man Peru LLC, for your sponsorship of Be a Voice. Find out how you can also be a sponsor by dialing 844-642-8367. 978 extension 111. Thank you to my millions of listeners worldwide. News Forum has over 14 million listeners worldwide. News Forum broadcasts live each and every Sunday night at 9:30 p.m. Eastern Time right here on WBNN. News Forum is brought to you by Ngozi Time Multimedia. Chinchilla Jonesia is host and anchor and investigative reporter. If you're listening tonight via the World Wide Web and would like to talk, comment, vent, or ask a question, you must dial 516-453-9133. Again, that number is 516-453-9133. If you're already listening tonight via phone and would like to talk, comment, vent, share a story of injustice or corruption, or ask a question to one of our guests, please press 1 and you will be placed into the caller queue. Please keep in mind that while News Forum is a very controversial show with many controversial topics as well as controversial callers and guests, and while we allow freedom of speech for all, we ask that you refrain from using profanity. And also, keep in mind that some of the views of our guests, as well as our hosts, are not always the views of News Forum, WBNN, or Ngozi Time Multimedia. To reach Chinchilla Jonesia after the show, you may call her Monday through Friday at 844-642-8378, extension 888. Again, that number is 844-642-8378, extension 888. Like and follow Ms. Controversy herself, Chinchilla Jonesia, on Facebook, and at Princess Chinchilla on Instagram. Chinchilla has one L. And now, here she is, host and anchor, investigative reporter, Chinchilla J. Hey, everybody. Good evening, and welcome to another segment of News Forum. I am Chinchilla Jonesia, a.k.a. Chinchilla J. And tonight, as you heard, we're going to be exposing injustices in America, as we do each and every week, and we mostly feature wrongful convictions, but we also do all types of injustices in America. As you've heard many times before, we talk about gun violence, we talk about racism, we talk about discrimination and all kinds of injustices because we want them to be exposed. Tonight, we're going to be exposing hate crimes. You know, this is just such a ridiculous thing that we have a country, the United States of America, that's supposed to be land of the free, home of the braves, or whatever. I always get that mixed up all the time, and, you know, that's how much I feel about that, because no matter whether it's home of the free or land of the brave or land of the brave and home of the free, it still does not apply. So, you know, to you and me, or to you and I, okay, it does not apply. And that's so very sad, because in this country, there's still racist individuals. You know, racism is still running prevalent in this country. And time again, we will see incidents of hate crimes. Some of them get swept under the rug. A lot of them get swept under the rug. Most of them get swept under the rug. But tonight, we have a hate crime that was, I mean, a hate crime that was experienced by a 16-year-old teenager in Virginia. And he's now 18, but when he was 16, he experienced this horrible hate crime from people that, you know, he thought were friends, you know, and as we know, sometimes people that we think are our friends are not our friends, and we cannot trust everyone. And people that smile in our faces, guess what? So many of them stab us in our backs. And It's such a shame that this young man, Jerry Chambers, had to experience such an ordeal. I mean, you know, going to out with a friend to some other friend's home, and there, I guess, they had a party, and, you know, and the thing that really gets me, that adults were present, and there was drinking going on at this party with teenagers, but adults were there. What kind of adults are they to allow their teenagers to have booze at a party for high school students? I mean, this is ridiculous. So those parents, right away, those parents that owned that home, every adult that was in that home, they ought to be arrested because that's illegal, you know, and it's a shame. But more importantly tonight is the fact that Jerry, he was a victim of this hate crime. The hate crime was just terrible because Jerry drank along with the other teenagers, and we know that teenagers, they do these type of things, but, you know, not usually in the home of parents, you know. So it's so sad, but he was unconscious, and upon waking up, he had all types of racial slurs, racist words all written over his face. And not only that, there was a swastika written over, drawn on his face as well. And that is so very sad to me. It's just crazy. And then to top it off, they also put a dildo, like a penis, on Jerry's face and on his shoulder, you know, an actual, you know, physical one that you can touch. Not that wasn't drawn on his face, although it was drawn on his face too, but they actually put a physical one on his face. Not a real one, but like a dildo type one. And, you know, when I read about this, it just infuriated me so bad, so bad. And the authorities did absolutely nothing. And we're going to talk to Jerry's parents tonight, and, you know, we're going to talk to Jerry, and, you know, it's just so crazy. And I am just so outraged, and everyone in this country needs to be outraged about this. The family and their advocates, Mr. Saad El Amin, they held a rally today in Virginia to expose this injustice there, you know. And where this took place was in Powhatan, Virginia, and they're from Chesterfield. And, you know, it's just so very sad. But we're going to bring on Jerry's parents, and we're also going to hear from other people tonight. And if you want to comment on this tonight, you must press 1 to comment on this situation because it's so crazy. It's horrendous. And we're also going to hear about cases of racism, discrimination, injustice, and corruption that's being swept under the rug in Mississippi. And, you know, this is so crazy. I'm so upset with all these cases of racism. It's a terrible, terrible thing, a terrible thing. So tonight, let's speak with the parents of Jerry. We have his mother, Crystal. And before I bring her on, Caroline, oh, my God, I talked to her today. And her voice is totally gone. She has now taken another bout of illness. And her voice, she can't hardly talk. Her throat is sore. She says it's not COVID because she was tested. So she's not sure what is going on with her body right now. So let's keep Caroline in prayer and pray that, you know, she will be healed and she will be back on here with us next Sunday. So we're going to bring on Jerry's mom, Crystal, and while she's getting situated, I just want to say, as I always tell you all, these are not reality. This is not a reality show. These are not reality events. These are not made-up situations. Every case and every story that is featured on News Forum is actually a real-life event experienced by real-life people. So keep that in mind, everybody. I know some of these cases are unbelievable. They all are unbelievable. But guess what? They all have happened. They all have happened. So let's speak with Crystal Chambers tonight. Crystal, how are you? Welcome to News Forum.
Hi. Yes, this is Crystal, well, Jerry Sr. and myself, Crystal Chambers. We had a rally today. There was a lot of community support, a lot of love. I think that did our son a great a great deal of hope for him and also for us.
Awesome.
He's still overwhelmed from the rally, so he is not present on this call right now. But, yeah, this is just unbelievable. This has been a roller coaster ride since September of 2020.
Okay. And now, when you first found out what had happened to your son, I mean, like, what went through your mind at that time, Crystal?
It was just a myriad of emotions, just shock, unbelief, disgust. And still to this moment, I mean, the emotions are the same and even more intense. We're just highly offended by how we've been treated by law enforcement, both Powhatan law enforcement and the FBI. The FBI took over this case in December, and still no arrest has been made. They have names. They have an address. They've interviewed individuals that were there and listed offenders as well, and still no arrest.
Yes, I'm not sure if
you all or if anyone follows the local, I believe it's Black Lives Matter on Instagram, but yeah, just as recent as this evening, a group went out, not to the property, but to the street, just to, you know, bring some awareness of what crime occurred against our son. And surprisingly enough, there were multiple sheriffs there from Powhatan Sheriff Department, but they couldn't seem to go there to make an arrest. That's highly offensive.
Wow. So now people from BLM, they went to the actual street that the hate crime took place?
Correct.
Okay.
I believe it was BLM. I just saw this online.
Okay. Well, that's awesome because definitely there more people need to start going out there protesting against that because, I mean, something needs to be done. And from, you know, the things that you sent to me with the FBI, I mean, how are you going to tell you they're going to investigate something a little bit and then they're going to say, oh, well, we don't consider this a hate crime because there's nothing illegal or criminal about writing, but they wrote on your son's face.
Exactly.
I mean, that is just outrageous to me that they would even make a statement like that because they wrote on your son's face, okay? And even when people write, you know, hate letters and things like that, that's a crime. And people do get arrested for crimes of hatred, you know, when they write threatening things or, you know, do different things and put it in the letter form, people get arrested for that. So to write on a teenager's face, that's criminal, to write
face
racial slurs on his face and body. That's criminal.
Yes.
It's very criminal. And, you know, something definitely has to be done. And, you know, that the state of Virginia, the whole state, you know, needs to answer to this. And they definitely have to right this wrong because the ones that did this to your son, they all need to be arrested. The parents of that household need to be arrested. Any other adults that were present, they all need to be arrested. And furthermore, those parents need to be arrested for allowing drinking of alcohol to take place in their home and allowing those teenagers to consume booze. They need to be locked up. And, you know, it's so sad. And it just gets on my nerves and really upsets me when I hear cases of injustice like this where, you know, the police department, the sheriffs, and now the FBI, they're, like, sweeping it under the rug because they obviously, the families of these other teenagers, and they must know somebody, either within the police department, the sheriff's department, maybe even in the FBI, but they have some type of political clout. They have some type of clout within the community and whatever, you know, for it to just not have taken any type of precedence for them at all. You know, it's just so insane to me. Now, I understand that the case has been turned over to Petersburg, Virginia?
Correct. Locally, it's referred to as a murder capital, yes. And it's miles and miles away from the county where the crime occurred.
Wow. And did they have any, what was their reasoning for handing the case over to Petersburg?
Wait one second, guys. I'm sorry. All the folks that come on News Forum, and when you're being interviewed, we can't have any background noise, okay? We're broadcasting around the world. If you're in a car, pull over, put the windows down, or put the windows up so there would be no feedback in the background. We cannot have feedback on the air. So what I'm going to do, Chinchilla, I'm going to have the young lady get herself together. I'm going to take a call, and then we'll go right back to her, okay? So call number one, you're live right now in News Forum.
Hi, good evening. This is Genesis Amaris Kemp. I was just calling in to support the show tonight. And Chinchilla, thank you for bringing this topic to the forefront. Hope you have a great show this evening.
Thank you so much. How are you, Genesis? Thank you so much. Now, Genesis, what are your thoughts on what you heard about this case so far with this young man, 16 years old, with, you know, racial slurs and a swastika drawn on his face and all these hate words written all over his face and body? The FBI saying that it wasn't a crime because there's nothing criminal against writing. What do you think about that?
Well, I think it's disheartening because had the shoes been on the other foot, would they have treated a non-melanated child the same way? And whenever you think about it, the playing field definitely needs to be equal across the board because at the end of the day, one, he was a minor. Two, there was evidence of how the hate crime was over his face, and you can't take that back. And you don't know how that can affect his mental health and clarity after having that happen to him.
Yes, that's so true. Well, thank you so much, Genesis, for calling in tonight and sharing your thoughts with us tonight. Thank you so much. And everybody, Genesis is a host on this network as well. Genesis, you want to tell everybody when your show comes on?
Yes. So the name of my show is Gems, and my show will be airing this month on May 16th, if I'm not mistaken, or let me just double check one second. May 9th, actually.
Okay.
So Monday, May 9th.
May 9th.
Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Well, again, thank you so much for calling in tonight, Genesis, and have a wonderful night. All right. So we're going to go back to Crystal Chambers, the mother of Jerry Chambers. Okay, Crystal, back to you now. So we were talking about what was the reasoning or the reasons that, you know, Powhatan attorneys or district attorney or the prosecutors or whoever turned over this case to Petersburg. What was their reasoning for that?
I have in writing from the Commonwealth Attorney at Powhatan that there was a conflict of interest, and that is why over a year later the case was moved to Petersburg, Virginia. Now, there are other legal experts that have reviewed the motion for a special prosecutor, and the law that was used, it's highly likely there's a great suspicion that the Commonwealth Attorney is possibly related to one of the offenders.
Ah, okay.
If that is the case,
okay.
Would that be why there was no investigation in September of 2020? We're just
course.
Asking.
Yes, of course. because that was what I was feeling already, that it has to be something going on there, you know, other than racism. Of course, we know, you know, Virginia already is a racist state, and but now there's more to it than just, you know, regular racism. Here we have now a conflict of interest, and yes, and there's been so many different types of cases similar where you have people that are related to either the judge, the prosecutor, or somebody in the police department, and they just sit on things and never bring up charges where they should be, you know, and it's always when it's, you know, it's sad to say, but it's always when a white person does something criminal to a black person. Never the other way around, you know? You know, had your son been white and that was done by black teenagers, oh, my God, they would have all been arrested. Their parents would have been arrested, you know.
Absolutely.
And nothing would have been
hours.
Prolonged. Right, exactly. So this is just such a shame. Now, in Virginia, now, what is the NAACP doing? Are they getting involved?
They were actually present at the rally today.
Okay. Awesome.
So,
awesome.
So they have recently offered their services, yes.
Oh, good. That's awesome, because we often ask on this network about the NAACP, what are they doing? Because some of them, they stay so quiet in different states, we don't hear a peep from them when things happen. So that's good to know that they were present today there during the rally. And now, what all took place at the rally, Crystal?
The rally was very powerful. There were multiple families present that were also victims of either police brutality, some form of hate, racism from law enforcement.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay.
So
wow.
Multiple families of victims spoke. It was just very empowering, very encouraging to my family, and we were just so glad to have their presence. And
that's awesome.
Spoke for the first time in reference to this hate crime as well, and the key one of the key points of his speech was how the hate crime affected him psychologically. And he was actually very open and spoke about his recent suicide attempt. So we're just very proud of his boldness and his braveness once again, because he was bold and brave back in 2020 to even speak about the hate crime, and then for nothing to be done that was by law enforcement, for law enforcement to break the law, that was just so so disrespectful and disgusting. They try multiple intimidation from various angles. It's disgusting.
Wow. It's just ridiculous. And I'm glad that your son spoke out today and was a voice for himself. And, so I'm glad I have this clip from him from today, just in case he didn't feel up to it tonight to do a second interview and talking about this tonight. So let's play Jerry's speech from today. Take a listen, everybody.
As many of you know, I was a victim of a hate crime. It was not a joke, nor was it called for. I decided to speak out for the first time publicly because I never want others who have experienced a hate crime to feel alone. I want other victims to speak out as well. Being a victim of a hate crime definitely scars you for life. It takes away your human rights, and for me, it felt like I lost my manhood. How would you feel if you woke up to use the bathroom and looked in the mirror and saw that writing on you? How would you feel if you were physically abused with a sex toy? How would you feel if you were surrounded by guns all night, also being the only black man in the room with racists? How much more would I have to express for law enforcement to do anything about it? This is important in 2020. This is really what happens in America today, and it's sickening.
Yep.
This is where I'm begging for everyone's support. Whether you know me or not, I'm begging to raise awareness of the hate in our community and worldwide. I need any type of help against the suspects and law enforcement that refuse to do their job. I also wanted to share the impact it had on me recently. Y'all find me saying something personal?
Sure. Oh, speak your piece, brother. Speak your piece, brother.
On February 28th, I had a very severe suicide attempt. I was in the ICU for days, not having the strength to even get up and walk. It was not worth it at all, and it never is. Never let the actions of someone else determine whether you want to live or not. Every single person listening to this right now has a future, and I hate to see anybody lost due to suicide. Please continue to send support and help me seek justice. Thank
you. We stand with you.
All right, so that was Jerry. Jerry speaking out and speaking up tonight. Well, it's earlier today there in Chesterfield, Virginia, and he did an awesome job. And, you know, it's so sad. I am so very saddened, and I am so sorry that that had to happen to your son, Crystal. It's really a sad situation. But by him speaking up, you know, this, I believe he will become very powerful there, you know, a person that will stand up against injustice and against racism.
Definitely.
And hate crimes. And this will also make others that have experienced the same thing be more willing to speak up and speak out, because hate crimes happen all the time. And there are some young people, they're afraid to talk about it. They're afraid to tell people about it because, you know, believe it or not, these teenagers, they can be very vicious. As you see, what they did, that was very vicious. But some of them, they threaten, you know, the black kids and say, you know, you better not tell nobody, you know, because my parents are powerful. And, you know, they threaten them all kinds of ways, which people have shared with me time and time again, different things that they're threatened with. Even the parents of children will threaten the children as well. And so there's so many that sit and they're afraid to say anything. But I hope and pray that by Jerry speaking up and speaking out the way he did today at the rally, that will give other people the courage to do the same exact thing. We're going to take a caller, and then I'm going to speak with you some more, Crystal. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi, peace and blessings, Chinchilla, and peace and blessings to your guest.
Yes.
Hello?
Thank you. How are you tonight, Sister Bessie? How are you?
Oh, I'm doing well, and I want to say to the mother, you have a wonderful son, and he stood up, and I'm so sick of racism. We're about to maybe go into World War III. And we still hanging on to racism. It's a disgrace.
Mm. It is.
And it's still going on, knowing that we may end up in a third world war. And these people are still living their life talking about somebody's color. And I'm about the same way you feel, Chinchilla. I hate racism, period.
Yes.
Yes.
Yes. It's absolutely ridiculous. Ridiculous.
Yes, but
wow.
Miss, you have a great son. And
thank
I'm so
you.
Proud to hear him speak the way he did just now. I just wanted to say that. Say that.
Thank you so much.
Yes. Yes, and thank you so much, Sister Bessie the Trooper, for calling in tonight. Tell everybody when your show is, Sister Bessie.
Uh-oh. I was just
May 29th is Sister Bessie's show. And it's a special show because we'll be honoring, this will be the third anniversary for us honoring the late, great Malik El-Haj Shabazz, as you know him as Malcolm X.
Yeah.
All right. Yes. And that's on her birthday, right, Sister Bessie? That's your birthday?
Yeah. He's born the same day I am, May 19th. Yes.
Okay. Awesome. Mm-hmm. Awesome. All right. Thank you
thank
so much
you
for
so
calling in tonight and sharing that and encouraging Mrs. Chambers. Thank you so much, Sister Bessie. Okay, we're going to go to another caller. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hey, peace and abundant divine blessings. Can you hear me?
Hey, Brother Hooney.
You know, I'm going to speak directly. First of all, let me be clear about something. We as a people have become so sensitized to everybody else's plight but our own. Okay? Secondly,
yes.
And most importantly, we got to turn all of our attention, all our focus back to ourselves and each other now. And they have been taking advantage, and I'm talking about the white power structure, they have been taking advantage of our kindness, our godliness, our forgiveness for far too long. There's no excuse time that there's a hate crime, right? When something happened to a black man, woman, or child, they can give you every excuse why they can't find a reason to put it into the law. But conveniently, when it came to the Chinese plight, they put that into law. Another thing, with this war that's going on, that don't have nothing to do with us. Show me at any time in American history have they ever went to war for us.
Mm.
I have said it for almost 37 years now. It's not their responsibility anyway. That's why they haven't came to our aid, because we are the only people that can come to our aid. I applaud the young man. I applaud your parents, because that's a godly stance that y'all have. But we as a people have to rally around. We got to be concerned with ourselves and each other now. We got to stop allowing things like that happen. We got to stop allowing the evil ones, the soulless ones, to keep doing any and everything and getting away with it. It's time to make them pay in this life. My last thing I want to say right now, this is me talking. The day that any of you soulless, you know what, tried that with me in mind, is the day you leave here. You ain't got to worry about this life after death. Trust me, you're going to find out right away. Thank you.
All right, Brother Hooney. Wow. Thank you so much for calling in and sharing that with us. And, you know, wow. All I can say is wow to that last comment. Yeah, but I feel you on that, Brother Hooney. Brother Hooney is also a host on this network. You want to tell everybody when your show is, Brother Hooney?
Yeah, so on a good note, like I said, that feminine energy that can bring me right back. Look, this is my anniversary week. I'm coming up on 5 years. Great networks. I am so excited for everybody who tuned into my show from the first or the opening night to what's about to happen coming up Thursday. This would be my five-year anniversary of doing internet broadcasting with the greatest network of our time, WBNN, okay? Come,
all
and
right.
You know, for your well wishes, your prayers, and everything. I just want to say personally thank you to everybody that was there from my opening night to the upcoming night. Thank you so much, Chinchilla.
You're welcome, Brother Hooney. Thank you for calling in. All right. That was Brother Hooney, everybody. And, you know, he was so right with a lot of, you know, most of the stuff he said. You know, he was definitely on point. All right, Michelle, back to you. I'm thinking about Michelle. Michelle wants to talk tonight. She's calling in, so she definitely wants to talk tonight. So let's bring on another caller right now. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hello.
Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum.
Yes, good afternoon, Dr. Chinchilla. Thanks for having me on tonight.
Yes, hi. And, okay, Princess, is that you?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, how are you? Okay, everybody, this is
fine.
Princess Pons. And Princess Pons, you know, those of you that have heard his story on News Forum and on Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls, he's wrongfully incarcerated in the state of Oklahoma. And he's calling in tonight to encourage his family and Jerry and talk about his feelings towards the hate crimes committed against Jerry. So go ahead, Prentice.
Yeah, I just it just blows my mind that things like this is still happening in America, and anytime a black man tries to stand up, we still get knocked down. I just don't know what have we as a people have done to white America that makes them hate us so much. The hate crime issue is just, you know, it's unbelievable that, you know, a group of kids would do that to a black man. But as you said, you know, had it been the opposite way, we would have been in jail, you know, that without any hesitation. There would have been new laws made for it. They'd have just, you know, threw the key at us. But when we complain about something that has happened to us that has been a tragedy, then it's like we don't care. We don't want to hear about it. And the people should just get behind it and let them know that, you know, we're tired, you know, and that's the reason why I'm taking a stand that I have to take in Oklahoma. I'm tired. My family's tired, you know, and once we get enough people to continue to say we tired and get the community behind us, we got to change something.
Yes, yes, definitely have to change something. And you're so right. You know, it has to take everybody being tired of it and coming together to fight against all of this injustice, because as long as we stay passive and quiet and just accepting any and everything that is dished out to us, they're going to keep dishing it out. And, you know, we definitely have to become proactive and as I always say, we need to change legislation. Laws must be changed in this country, and the only way to change them is to go up to your state capitals, go up and meet with legislators and, you know, draft up bills and take it to them and, you know, get people to support those bills. And, you know, and if the people that are in office, if they cannot, you know, support us in what we want to take place, you know, they're supposed to work for us. And we're their constituents. So if your state representatives and your state senators and your council people, if they are not supporting what their constituents are asking for, then they don't need to be in office. So we have to stop voting for people that don't care about us, for people that are corrupt. And it just blows my mind how corrupt politicians stay in office and people continuously vote for them. And a lot of them get back into office because people don't vote in the smaller elections. A lot of people wait until a presidential election. But every single year we have elections, people. Every single year. The primaries are in the beginning of the year. So like in March, April, May, June, those are primary months for states across this country. And it's important to vote during those primaries, because these elections is where you're going to vote for judges. You're going to vote for your state reps, your state senators, and your councilmen and councilwomen. And a lot of people, they neglect to vote during these times. And it's so important, because people get put into office, and then you'd be like, wow, well, who is this person? Well, they're not for us. Well, of course not. You didn't go out and vote. So guess what? They won. So we have to vote, Black America. We have to vote in every election so we can make sure that the candidates that we want to be put in office are in office. And those that we don't want in office, we need to get them out of there because they're not for us. So it's important, people, to get out and vote. And register to vote if you're not registered. All right, Crystal, back to you. Wow. And now, did Jerry graduate from school yet, or does he graduate this year?
We're planning for him to graduate this year. Unfortunately, he has not attended school more than he's missed the majority of the school year due to multiple frequent hospitalizations. Due to the trauma from the crime that was.
Wow. So, yeah, definitely a traumatic experience.
Yes, we're still working with him. Hopefully he will graduate in June.
Okay. So now, since he's been missing most of the school year, did the school, like, give him his work to complete, or Has the school been working with you guys?
That's a whole
what did you say?
Story. I said that's a whole nother story, a whole nother interview. Unfortunately, discrimination is throughout the multiple systems of government in Virginia. So, unfortunately, he experienced discrimination in that as well. But we're working through it.
Okay. Wow, that is terrible. Now, did you try to enroll him into like a cyber school or a homeschool type thing?
Well, unfortunately, like when he gave his speech, I mean, he's been in the ICU twice. Well, once this year, once last year. So, when you're inpatient with mental health treatment, I mean, you're in therapy for on an average of 6 hours a day. So,
wow.
He was in acute facilities. So. He was unable to keep up at times.
Wow, that's so sad. I am so sorry that has happened to Jerry. And, you know, the state definitely has to be held accountable for this because this doesn't make sense. We have a young man, 16 years old, 2 years later, you know, he's still suffering from this traumatic experience. And, you know, so, you know, he could wind up having PTSD, did they diagnose him with that?
Definitely. Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah.
That's a diagnosis. Thankfully, he is very resilient and very intelligent. So, yes, we definitely look forward to him coming back stronger than ever and him succeeding and, you know, definitely helping and being an advocate for others who have experienced.
I'm sure. Yes, I'm sure he will. I'm sure he's going to, you know, he's going to wind up doing great things, you know, despite what has happened to him. He's going to definitely rise above this. And, you know, he will definitely help others that, you know, will be in his shoes. Because guess what? These type of situations, they're not going to stop. They're going to continue to happen around this country, unfortunately. And it's a sad situation. Jerry is definitely going to do some great things. Let's take a caller, and then after the caller, we want to speak to your husband, Jerry Sr. Caller, you're live on the air. How are you tonight? Welcome to News Forum. Caller, you're live on the air. How are you? Welcome to News Forum.
Welcome.
Okay,
all right, I can hear you. Yes.
Okay,
there
let's
you
get
are.
Back. Okay, hold on. All right.
Can you hear me?
Okay, caller, how are you? Yes.
I'm doing great. How are you doing, Dr. Chinchilla?
I'm fine. How are you? Oh, you said you're
I
great.
I am doing great.
All right.
I'm doing great.
All right.
I was just catching the end part of what was going on. And for one thing, let me say this. Thank you, Dr. Chinchilla, for all that you do on your platform and exposing injustice. That is truly a blessing. I thank you for that. And for Jerry and his mother, Crystal, my prayers are with you all. And I agree with the brother that came on. I think his name was Mooney, Brother Mooney. I agree with him as far as we have to fight back. You know what I'm saying? Because if we don't, they're going to keep on doing this to us and to our people. They are. Respect is taken. Respect is taken. In order for us to get respect, we got to take it. We have to take it. We have to fight fire with fire. Give them that same energy that they're giving us. It's no more, like you said, Dr. Chinchilla, it's no more being passive. No more. No more of that.
Right.
We have to stand up and fight and let them know that we're not taking this no more. We're not taking this no more. They didn't take advantage of our kindness. They didn't take advantage of everything. And we're not taking it no more, you know. So we have to fight fire with fire. We have to fight fire with
definitely.
Fire. Go on the battlefield and demand our respect. So clearly they're not going to give it to us. We have to demand our respect. These are children. You know what I'm saying? So my heart goes out to them. this young man been suffering and no, somebody gonna pay for that.
That's right.
Somebody's gonna pay for that. The more you expose him, that's why I thank you for your platform, Dr. Chinchilla, Queen Chinchilla, because your platform, you expose an injustice. And the more they get exposed, see, they can't stand, they like to do stuff in the dark and it's hidden, but expose them and let people know how evil and wicked they are. Expose them. And I'm grateful for the your platform and exposing all this injustice going around in America. And it's going to keep on going around if we don't stand up and do something about it. It's not going to stop.
Exactly.
We can't be trying to, I wish they would just accept us. No, they're not. So we have to come together and be united as one and fight against this injustice.
Yes,
and once
we
come together, I guarantee you they're going to respect us. I guarantee you they're going to want to hear what we got to say. But no more being passive.
Yes,
indeed. No more being passive. Make them pay.
That's right. Yes, that's in the past. And Michelle, the man that you were speaking about, his name is Hooney, Brother Hooney Bakatoon.
Okay, Hooney, okay.
Yeah,
he was correct.
Yes.
I agree with everything you said. He's correct. Yes.
Yeah. And everybody that's listening tonight, Michelle has a husband that's wrongfully incarcerated in the state of Detroit. And his name is DeRico Thompson, who was featured here on News Forum and also in Cries of Innocence from Behind Prison Walls. And DeRico, he will be being released and coming out soon, coming home soon. So we're looking forward to his release, and we're declaring and decreeing it right now in advance.
Yes.
So thank you so much for calling
and
in
I
tonight,
thank you for
Michelle.
Thank you for that, Michelle. You have a big part in doing.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm glad to have played a role in it, definitely. And thank you so much for calling in to encourage the Chambers family. Thank you so much, Michelle. We're going to take another caller, and then right after this caller, we're going to talk with Jerry Sr. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi, Chinchilla. This is Mo Garman. How are you?
Fine. How are you, Mo?
I'm okay. I wanted to call in and support your show. First, I wanted to say I'm glad you're bringing all this hate crime stuff to our attention. The Chambers case is very, very disturbing, especially the report of the conflict of interest on that case that you were talking about, and I sincerely hope the family gets justice.
Yes, yes, indeed. Thank you so much, Mo. Mo is also a host on this network. Want to tell everybody when your show is, Mo?
Before I do that, I want to congratulate the WBNN Linear New Host of the Year, Class of 2021, Chinchilla J, on her WBNN All-Time Connection record with her 52nd and third consecutive with the historic Darlene Lawrence Championship.
All right.
So
Thank you so much.
You are reaching millions. You are reaching millions.
Thank you so much, Mo. I appreciate that very much. Thank you. And have a wonderful evening.
All right.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. All right. So we're going to speak with Jerry now. Now, Crystal, is your husband on your phone or did he call in on his own phone, from his own phone?
He's here on my phone.
Okay. All right. Okay. So we're going to speak with Jerry Sr. now. How are you, Mr. Chambers?
I'm doing great. How are you doing today?
I'm fine, thank you, thank you. So now I'm going to ask you the same first question I asked your wife. When you first found out about what happened to your son, what went through your mind? What were you feeling?
I was shocked, traumatized then and now. I was confused, frustrated. It's just a whole lot of emotions that was going on to find out that you cannot trust the community to take care of a teenager out here. You have a teenage boy that goes out with a peer and come home as a new person. I mean, a person that's been through stuff that men haven't been through. I mean, to try to hold that down as a child is unbelievable. To have someone that he trusted to violate him mentally and physically is unbelievable. And to go cry out to the police and they tell him, no, we won't protect you. We wouldn't do anything for you. There's nothing that we can do for you. Sorry that you're afraid, but more or less go home. I mean, that's basically how it went down when we went to report this crime in September 2020.
That is so, oh my gosh, I'm a parent as well. And I know I definitely would have been outraged. And, you know, it's just so ridiculous. And my heart goes out to y'all. But, you know, I am so glad that you are definitely pursuing this issue and not allowing them to get away with this. Because too many people, they just give up and they don't pursue it. But definitely, I am so glad that you're pursuing this because they need to be held accountable. And they all need to be arrested and locked up. And those parents in that home and all the adults that were present need to be locked up because they allowed that to happen. I mean, it doesn't make sense. It's just ridiculous. It's absolutely absurd. I mean, it's so sad. And then for your son to have to suffer that humiliation with them posting that stuff on Snapchat and other social media sites, I mean, you know, that is humiliating. And he had to endure all of that. And then the school district, they, you know, can't understand that he's going through a traumatic experience. It's ridiculous. It's absolutely crazy. Wow, it's really crazy.
Yes.
Boy.
No assistance. I mean, now basically, he's trying to catch up and, you know, graduate. I mean, the school board, they didn't need to step up to understand that a child has had a traumatizing situation. They didn't even give him his work. So now he's trying to catch up for three semesters of work in 1 month. So it's just amazing that they put that kind of stress on a person that has been through a hate crime and out the hospital. I mean, a suicide attempt. I mean, oh, wow. They just more or less tried to destroy him. It's sad. It's extremely sad. I mean, I'm not saying it's only because any child who has to go through that, any minor that cannot enjoy their youth life, it's no words for that, in my opinion.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, because that traumatic experience, that definitely hindered, the rest of his little teenage years and enjoying high school time and prom, junior prom, senior prom, and everything else that, you know, children that age should be enjoying and experiencing, not experiencing hate crimes committed on them and against them. This is just outrageous. It's outrageous. And those of you that are listening via the World Wide Web tonight and want to talk, you definitely have to call in 516-453-9133 and press 1 to join the conversation. Those of you that are watching on Facebook, you want to talk, don't message me. Dial that number, 516-453-9133. Press 1 to talk. We do have other callers that we're going to be speaking with, and we're also going to be hearing about a case of injustice and corruption in Mississippi. We're going to hear about that tonight as well. But first, Brother O, he has something that he would like to say tonight. Brother O.
Well, first of all, to the Chambers family, how are you tonight?
Holding tight.
My name is Oladele Malewa Ngozi. I am the producer of not only this show, but this grand network of WBNN. And two things I want to say. First of all,
to the Chambers family. Have you reached out to the Federal Bureau of Investigation on this matter?
And they got involved in the case in December of 2021. No arrest.
Okay, and no arrest. Okay, so are they still working on this, or it's just stalemate at this time?
Say that it's still an open investigation. That's what they're stating.
All right. Well, this is something I challenge both of you to do. In the case of a young lady that I knew in Wisconsin that I fought for back in 2013 in my early years of the network. Her name was Linda Laws. She went through something in the city of Madison, and she's also a person of color. Her parents actually went to the J. Edgar Hoover building in Washington, and they stayed there until, they went all the way to Washington and went into the offices and stayed there until they found what's going on with the case. We're not leaving until whatever needs to be done needs to be done. And in about 2 months, continued the case, and they were found, got justice in the state of Wisconsin. It's funny that, you guys are in Virginia. One of my good friends is head of the Department of Education in the state of Virginia. And I implored, the father just came on and said something that really moved me. There are black teachers and black professors in colleges and universities as well as, secondary higher education. This show goes around the world, and definitely in Virginia tonight, where we have right now over 75,000 people listening from the state of Virginia tonight. I implore all of the educators right now to get in contact with the Chambers. Get this young man in an accelerated, loving environment to where you can help this kid catch up in his grade. This is something that's never been talked about on internet radio or radio. The call for black educators to contact the Chambers, and if the Chambers want to give their number out, for them to contact them, every single educator in the state of Virginia, and if it's some good white educators, let's get down on business to get this kid passed smoothly, and I mean so smooth that it's it feels like the cold on the other side of the pillow. Let us do this now. Let's do this before it's too late. And if the Chambers want to give out a number for these educators to call them directly, you do so now. And I'm gone, and I'll be back at the end of the show for Ngozi time.
We still have some other. We have the caller. Caller's in. Caller 7. Caller 7, you're live on the Everett News Forum. How are you tonight?
Before we do that, Chamber family, do you want to give that number out to educators to call you directly to try to help you get your son on the right track, and then we'll take the call at 7.
Sure. That number is 804-426-2742.
All right, and please, people that are hearing that number, do not call their number with nonsense. Please. They've already been through enough. Yes. All right. We're going to take another caller. Caller, you're live on the Everett News Forum. How are you tonight?
Hi, Chinchilla. This is Tawanda Graves. How are you?
Hi, Tawanda. How are you?
I'm fine. I just wanted to say thank you so much for your platform and exposing the corruption state to state. I've been here several times because I love the show so much. We came with Elliot Sterling from Louisiana and then also Amaya Braxton from Mississippi that was tragically hit and killed by a white Caucasian driver and was not charged. Yeah. But I want to talk about tonight something that happens in every state and everyone's backyard that doesn't get enough media attention, and that is the human trafficking, sex trafficking, and organ harvesting of minorities. It's something that is a continuous problem with minorities making up the vast majority of missing people cases, and for whatever reason, they do not fit the criteria for breaking news. They don't fit the criteria for Amber Alerts or anything in mainstream white media. It's a problem when black kids go missing and they're reported. most of the time, they're just labeled as runaways, so they don't get the same resources and funding as a blonde-haired, blue-eyed Caucasian child that goes missing. And it's something that we have to do better, and it's something that we have to protect our kids. And not only kids, it's black men and black women that go missing every day. Every 40 seconds, a kid or a woman or a child will go missing in the United States, and it's something that we need more black networks to focus on these black missing kids women and children that go missing.
Yeah, that is so true, because there are so many, and we definitely don't get the proper exposure for missing children or missing women or anybody that's black. You know, we definitely do not, and it's such a sad thing, and they go all out to provide exposure for, you know, our counterparts when they're missing. And that's terribly unjust, and that's really ridiculous. Wow. Well, thank you so much, Tawanda, for sharing that with us tonight. And we're going to be speaking with Andrea Braxton, who is the mother of Amaya Braxton, who was ran over in her driveway by a white woman that ran her over and killed Amaya. And nothing has been done. The woman is still free, and she's bragging about, you know, how, you know, they can't touch her and nothing can happen to her. And why? Because she's connected with those political figures there. She's related to somebody, and, you know, and it's, again, a situation where the clout and the financial status quo plays a part in them not being brought in at all for questioning. And definitely not brought in and pressed charges against, when charges should have been pressed against her, brought up against her. That woman should have been behind the jail. And she has not even as much to apologize to the Braxton family when her vehicle is the vehicle that hit Amaya. And it is so ridiculous to me. So we're going to speak with Andrea Braxton right now. About Amaya, and so she can share with us the corruption that went on there down in the deep south, because it's craziness, and that woman needs to be locked up. And I don't like her because of her arrogance, and, you know, I mean, really, who kills a child and then talks about how they can't be touched? I mean, that is so ridiculous, heartless, and craziness to me. Wow, it's ridiculous. Now, I know Andrea was on for a while. She was on. I'm not sure if she's still on or not, but we will find out if she is still on the line. Let's see. Brother O, is Andrea still on the line?
We do have the secondary number of 8995 on right now, and, of course, I will let you know if the other number comes available. All right, 8995, you're online right now with Chinchilla Jonicia and News Forum right here at WBNN.
All right. Hi, welcome to News Forum. How are you tonight? Hello, you're live on the air with News Forum. I believe the 8995 is think Sierra. It's you, sweetie. Sierra?
No, they're not on right now. Okay. I'm going to try to see what's going on with the other line. The 8292 is not on now. I would let you know exactly when they come on, Chinchilla. Got you.
Okay, awesome. Well, we're going to take a pause for the cause right now and take a listen to this Be a Voice promo, everybody.
Would you like to donate to a good cause? Well, Right the Wrong Coalition and Be a Voice could use your support. Help them continue to expand their advocacy work for justice as they fight for freedom for the wrongfully incarcerated, exoneration, compensation, and juvenile lifers as they stand and fight against mass incarceration, over-sentencing, wrongful convictions, gentrification, racial inequities, racism, and to change legislation throughout this country by rebirthing this criminal justice system one city at a time through their model, Criminal Justice Reborn. You may donate to Be a Voice via Cash App, $ Be a Voice Tour. That's capital BEAVOICE, lowercase TOUR. You may also donate via Venmo at www.venmo.com/u/BEAVOICE. Venmo.com/u/BAVOICE. For more information or to find out how to become a part of Be a Voice or join Right the Wrong Coalition, dial 844-642-8378, extension 111.
All right, everybody. Again, Be a Voice. You can donate. $ Cash App is $ Be a Voice Tour. That's BEAVOICETOUR. Venmo is Be a Voice. Caller, you're live on the air with News Forum. How are you tonight? Caller, you're live on the air. How are you?
Hello.
Hello.
Oh, hello. How are you, Chinchilla? I didn't know that I was selected. But how are you?
Oh, good. How are you, Antonia?
I'm okay, thank you. I was trying to make sure I remembered this particular status of how many people that were possibly black women and girls who have come up missing, been reported missing. I don't know if this was a recent account, but I heard about maybe 40,000 per year here in the United States came up missing and were not accounted for. And the other item I was hoping to mention, here in Philadelphia, if I'm not mistaken, there's a political constituent who's been a longstanding political representative named Anthony Williams. I believe he's in West or Southwest Philadelphia. He has, if I'm not mistaken, a program that helped those who have been incarcerated to expunge their ability to not be able to become employed. And I don't know exactly how it works, but it could be that they make sure that they are not committed to have to put down that they have had prior criminal background or criminal-related background. But it doesn't mean necessarily criminal, meaning that they were bad people. They could have had only misdemeanors compared to other things. So Anthony Williams is that person, and I wish anybody luck who goes to his office who wish to try to get some of the matters resolved and try to become reintroduced to the workforce here in Philadelphia, Pennsylvania. Thank you, Conchola.
Thank you. Thank you so much, Antonia. You too. And Antonia is also, Antonia, did you retire or not?
I'm Antonia? Sorry, did I do it again?
When is your next show?
My next show would probably be within the next 2 to 3 weeks. I'm sure the producer can tell you when that'll be. On a Monday evening, 9:30 p.m., and it's called Informational Guru by Antonia Betts. And if you'd like to tune in, please do. Hopefully it could be informative. And thank you very much.
All right.
And
her
show is going to be May 16th is Antonia's show on a Monday night. So can't wait for that.
Awesome.
All right.
Awesome. And now, as Antonia was talking about Senator Williams, now Senator Williams, he's doing expungements, and then expungements, you can go to any, actually, state rep offices now and senator offices in your districts and fill out the application for expungement, there was a bill that Right the Wrong Coalition was instrumental with helping to get passed last year. Time goes by so fast. It was either last year, what was the end of 2020 into 2021, where they were working on a bill called HB 440, which dealt with expunging the records and sealing the records of people that, you know, had been incarcerated and, you know, now they're home, but their records were not expunged. So they've made it easier for people to get their records expunged. And almost every week there are expungement clinics happening around the city. Caroline Turner participates in those expungement clinics. And also Right the Wrongs Coalition does as well. And we do offer that for people to get their records expunged as well. And so before it used to be hard. Now it's not. And now, people, you don't have to pay money to get it done. Because before, people were paying like $500 to attorneys to do that, $1,000. Some charge as much as $5,000 to expunge somebody's record. And it's sad. But now the state of Pennsylvania has passed that HB 440, where it is not that difficult anymore, and you can get it done free of charge, and that's a good thing. All right, so we're going to go back and speak with Jerry some more. Okay, Jerry, now, what are your hopes? What is your prayer tonight? What is your hope tonight that will be the outcome of what happened to your son? What do you want to see happen in the state of Virginia?
Well, I like for my son to receive justice. I like for my son to get the proper counseling to help him heal from this this hate. I would like to see him graduate. I would like to see him become, you know, the man that he was trying to be prior to this incident happening. Also, I like for the people to contact the U.S. Attorney's Office and demand investigation to Palatine Sheriff and Palatine Commonwealth Attorney's Office for intentionally mishandling and violating our rights. Disparate treatment and discrimination of victims of the victim, and I just want him to get some harm. I mean, get some type of how can I word this? I just want him to be get better. I want him to be better. It's just so traumatizing to me to even talk about this. But I would like for actual people to, you know, call these offices and help me demand that something is done and they are investigated.
Yes, definitely. They need to be investigated, and I'm sure that they will. You know, with your rally you had today, there were news stations out there, so that's some exposure there in Virginia. And now, you know, the nationwide exposure, and you know, people will start coming together and fighting for Jerry to receive justice there in Virginia. And we're definitely going to be fighting for justice for you from here. I'm in Pennsylvania. You know, we're going to be fighting for you guys down there as well. And however we can be instrumental, you know, let us know, because justice definitely needs to be served. And Virginia has to right this wrong, because they have terribly wronged your son. They wronged you and your wife, your entire family, because a crime was committed. Hate crimes were committed. And,
yes,
you know, blasted over social media, humiliating your son and just disrupting his teenage years. And it's so very sad, so sad. And justice will be served. It definitely will be served. And I'm going to come back to you and your wife in a moment. We're going to now speak with Andrea Braxton, who is the mother of Amaya Braxton, who was ran over in her driveway and killed by a Caucasian woman. And this is a sad, 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 sad situation here. And my heart still aches for Mrs. Braxton and her family. How are you tonight, Mrs. Braxton?
I am doing well. Thank you so much for having me again. I was on for a little period of time. I was in between podcasts, and so I just jumped on right quick. And so I do apologize that my phone had died, and it's still kind of low. But that's okay, because when it comes to Amaya, I just, you know, I do what I have to do.
Yes. So for those that may have not heard what happened to Amaya when you were on before, please share with everybody tonight. And please, everybody, blast that woman's name out, because people need to hear that name of that woman that thinks she's untouchable.
So on October the 4th, 2016, Amaya and her 10-year-old brother at the time, it was the day after his birthday, was getting off their school bus. I was in the house asleep. I had a little routine to get up at a certain time, to cook at a certain time, because I kept them on the schedule because I knew it would just be easier, and that's what responsible people do. And so I was in the house, and at the time, I was living off of a highway, and it was a very busy highway. And if you've ever lived in a mobile home, then you can't really hear in the back, because normally there's an air conditioner back there, and everything is toward the back of it. And so approximately about 4:30 or so in the afternoon, I started getting phone calls from nowhere, just from nowhere. Like, my phone just rung over and over. And my husband got through to me, and he was telling me that he was getting phone calls that Amaya was hit by a car. And so I was like, well, where is she, you know? And I was telling him, you know, well, you know, that's impossible because, you know, they ain't got field trips, and she would come straight home. So she didn't go anywhere, you know, I didn't let her go anywhere or anything like that. And so he just told me to go and find out. And so as I'm trying to find something to slip on, I pull my blinds back, and there is ambulances, fire trucks, and it was just a whole bunch of questions. And I remember the school superintendent running up to me and saying that there had been an accident with little Amaya, as he called her. And I was like, what do you mean, what accident? She's, you know, here. You know, she's at home. She's here. And so I was looking for my son because I didn't see him. And he was still on the bus. And so he ran up to me, and I could just tell he was very shocked. I could tell he was very not good. I could just tell he was just froze, and something bad had happened. But I had to keep on pressing on, and then I got to the ambulance, and they were telling me that they were getting ready to leave. And I wouldn't knew anything. So they were just going to drop off with her, but I had made it out there just in time. So I find out that she dies that night, and I'm noticing that there's no police presence. There's nobody but just family and people from the community that heard about the tragedy. So I'm noticing that I'm not really seeing anybody. And then as we make a home after having to digest this, still nobody comes. Nobody comes. So we end up waiting until the next morning, and as soon as the sheriff's department opened up, we went there and we met with the sheriff, and he told us that that she was hit as she was getting off her bus. And he said that he didn't press any charges, and he said that the lady's name was Karen Michelle Carpenter, and he said he didn't press any charges on Ms. Carpenter because of double jeopardy. And then he really gave me a really confusing lie, because that's what it is, was a confusing lie, because he was saying that he couldn't go up on charges, he could only go down. Well, that's not how double jeopardy works. So from the beginning, they hid, and from the beginning, they lied. They had diagrams of her being in the street, and Amaya was never in the street. And the lady was never charged or anything, nothing.
Mm. Wow. And so they just let her just drive off that day, just drive off. And this is just so sickening to me. it's really crazy. Everybody, the woman's name is Karen. Karen Carpenter is her name. Karen Carpenter. And what city is that in, Andrea?
Well, I lived in Belden, Mississippi, but it was Pontiac County. And at the time, Karen was living in Saltillo. So she was taking a shortcut to get to another major highway to go home.
Okay, okay. And this was in 2016, and now it's 2022, and still nothing has been done, and you've been fighting for justice for Amaya since 2016, correct?
Correct.
Wow.
Correct.
And what all, I mean, are there any people that are standing with you, advocating, supporting you all down there? And fighting for justice. I know Tawanda is helping you guys, but are there any people down there in the Deep South helping you?
You have your supporters, the one that maybe share your information, but it just seems as if the way it was swept under the rug and all of the misinformation, it seems like in people's hearts, and it's so unfortunate that they just, it's almost like they gave up the fight. It's like they kind of maybe in a sort, not really sure, but it just seems like when I look at it, it just kind of just seems like people are just, some people are just accepting the injustice. As oftentimes we do.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I know that you're not accepting it. You will never accept it. And don't. Keep fighting. Keep pushing for justice for Amaya, because she deserves justice. That woman ran her over, and that woman needs to have been locked up, you know, and going to trial. I mean, she ran her over, and it's so unfair to you. It's unfair to Amaya. Her life was, you know, just taken away like that. And I get upset every time I talk about it and hear it. And I know you as her parent, my God, what she must be going through. Each and every time you have to talk about what happened, but, you know, keep fighting. And I'm going to keep fighting with you, because Karen Carpenter, everybody, Karen Carpenter, she needs to be arrested for the death of Amaya, and for this woman to have no compassion for Amaya's parents and Amaya's siblings and Amaya's entire family. The woman didn't even as much as apologize. Now, how heartless can you be if you run over a child or anyone and that person dies? At least you can say, I'm sorry. Oh, my God, I am so sorry. And apologize and really mean it and ask for their forgiveness. She did not do that. So she definitely deserves to be put under the jail. This is ridiculous. Andrea, I thank you so much for coming on tonight. Everybody, tomorrow night, Andrea will be on the Braxton Family along with Tawanda Graves. They will be on tomorrow night on Injustice in America, tomorrow night at 7 p.m. You can watch it on Mike Test Entertainment TV's Facebook page. It will be live streamed there. Thank you so much, Andrea, and be encouraged. And justice is coming for Amaya. Thank you so much. Boy, I tell you, this is just so sickening. And, you know, what happened to Amaya, then we have what happened to Jerry, all these racist people in this world. And I'm sure if that Karen Carpenter, if she would have run over a white child, a white little girl, that she would have been, oh, my God, I'm so sorry, and, you know, apologizing to the parents, for heaven's sakes. How can you run over a child and kill a child and not apologize to their parents? You know, it's just it infuriates me to no end. It's almost making me stutter because I'm so infuriated by this. It's just ridiculous. We're going to get an update right now from Bishop Kenneth Atkins, and then we're going to come back with the final thoughts from the Chamber family, the Chambers. So let's get this update from Bishop Atkins' case.
Bishop Atkins, how are you today?
I'm hanging in there. Thank
you so much for asking.
You're welcome.
First of all, I really want to thank you for all the work, hard work you've done on my case and on everybody's case, or cases who are incarcerated. I mean, without people like me wouldn't stand a chance. So thank you. I want to start out by saying thank you so much.
Oh, you're more than welcome. You're more than welcome. Okay, so now I know that you had your motion for a hearing for a new trial about 2 weeks ago, and now you're still in Glynn County currently, and they have not taken you back to the facility that you were in. And I do understand that the judge is giving the prosecution 30 days to respond or something to that effect. So you can just fill everybody in on what happened during that motion hearing and whatever else you would like people to know today.
Okay, yeah, the judge did give the prosecutor 30 days to file a brief and to respond to our grounds or our claims for a motion for new trial. Of course, you know, there are many grounds and many claims for most people, most motion for new trial, and most certainly we have a lot of claims and grounds that I believe are very legitimate. The number one ground is what's called a Brady violation. Brady violation is when the prosecution withholds evidence that would have been favorable to the defense and would have most likely changed the outcome of the trial had that information been given. And in my case, it was my letter of resignation and some other documents that the prosecution had privy to. There's a case called Powell versus Whitley. What says is that if the police has it, then the prosecution has it. And most certainly the case also says that even if the prosecution didn't know that the police had it, it doesn't matter because they're all connected. And in my case, the police, through a prior investigation, had a copy of the letter of resignation. And the letter of resignation, I know a lot of people, you know, through you, through your show, through your podcast, I've heard a lot about my case. And the reason that the letter of resignation is so, so important is because it's dated. It's date stamped. It changes the crime. It changes the accusation. And most certainly, I want to say I did not do what they accused me of. Child molestation is an ugly crime. Most certainly, I, as a pastor, as a bishop, most certainly, I've worked with children all of my life. I have grandchildren, great-grandchildren. This has never been an issue with me. And most certainly, I did not do what I was accused of. So this letter of resignation would have changed it. It would have changed what the prosecution alleged. Even if I had done it, it would not have been a crime if they would have submitted my letter of resignation as the date. What they did was that they said that that I had left this church. It happened after I left this certain church, and that I left this church in May of 2009, and the event happened on my 50th birthday, which would have been January of 2010. In all actualities, I left the church, the first church that I pastored, in May 2010, and the birthday, if it was going to happen, if it was supposed to literally happen on a birthday after I left that church, that would have been January of 2011. And most certainly by that time, the accused would have been of age. Not that it makes a difference to me, it wouldn't matter of what birthday they accused me of, I didn't do it. That's number one. Number two, the prosecution itself submitted evidence at trial that it could not have happened on the birthday in 2011. They said, oh, no, it couldn't have happened in 2011. So when could it have happened then? If I didn't leave the church in 2010, then it should have happened on the birthday, the first birthday after I left the church, which would have been January 2011. They themselves submitted evidence because I had a big church-wide birthday party at Bonefish Grill on St. Simon's Island, in which my wife and I live. So it could not have happened then. And on my 50th birthday, which was so crazy, my wife and I both were in another state, an hour and a half away from Brunswick, and we were in church at a church-related revival. We have pictures. We have testimony at the motion with the trial. So most certainly that information, that evidence, that letter of resignation that they withheld was very important. And here's what it was important too, that the police admitted they had it. I'm so grateful, thank God, and I'm hoping that that makes a difference to the judge. But the police itself admitted that they had the letter of resignation and that they gave it to the GBI. Why is that so important? It's the GBI, the Georgia Bureau of Investigation, who investigated my case. They investigated it. And the Brunswick police, who originally, by the way, the Brunswick police originally had my case, here's what they did. They told the prosecutor, we don't file a crime. That's a true statement. They told the prosecutor, Jackie Johnson herself, that they do not see a crime.
Wow.
Because she hated me. She hated my political stances. She hated everything that I was saying as it relates to my political activism. Turning over to the GBI and saying, well, the Brunswick police can't find anything. Y'all need to find something. I assume that's what she said. She turned it over to them, and of course, a month later, I was arrested and here without bond. But again, the Brunswick police officer, Turner Affairs Chief, Sergeant Roy Blackstock, got on the witness stand at the motion for new trial and admitted that they had the information and that they gave it to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation.
Wow, that's crazy. Now, Bishop, let me ask you now. So with that now, where does Greg McMichael play a role as being the lead detective for Jackie Johnson's office? Now, how was he involved?
Absolutely. Here's how he's involved in. Greg, because he was the investigator for the Brunswick District Attorney's Office, his role was that of picking up and taking files back and forth, you know. So, and he was in the courtroom, but he was also the lead investigator. He was the liaison between Jackie Johnson's office and the Georgia Bureau of Investigation and the Brunswick Police Department. He was the guy who was connecting the dots. And most certainly, I firmly believe that Greg Mike Michaels, too, I remember looking at him in the courtroom. I didn't know who he was. I remember him looking at me with such foul contempt. I mean, I was like, who is this man? I had no idea who he was at that time. But I believe, most certainly, he is the one and delivered a file from the Brunswick Police Department to the Georgia Bureau of Investigation. I most certainly believe he had everything to do with it. They hid it, and they did not turn it over to my defense attorney. When my defense attorney asked for discovery, of course, you know that is the material that the prosecutor has that they're going to use to try and convict you. He asked for that material. That was what's called exculpatory evidence. That was materialistic to the date of the crime, goes to the date of the crime, it voids the indictment, and most certainly that file, all of that information, the gathering of that information, should have been given to my attorney, by Greg McMichael, through the assistant district attorney.
Wow. Wow. And everyone listening tonight, you know that Greg McMichael was one of the three convicted murderers in the Ahmaud Arbery case in Georgia. Wow. Okay. Continue, Bishop.
Well, I think what's more important, too, what's important to me in this is that of Jackie Johnson's role in this. I mean, Jackie Johnson and I, because I was a political activist, because I was a political consultant, we often found ourselves on opposite sides of issues that happen in the Brunswick Judicial District. You also got to understand, too, that I was often a critic of the Brunswick Judicial District, the way they treated black and brown people, the way they prosecuted black and brown people. As a matter of fact, the reason the Brunswick Police, the reason the Georgia Bureau of Investigations requested my file from the Brunswick Police Department was because they were investigating a city commissioner who happened to be my assistant pastor at my church. And they were investigating, and I was standing up for him. I was speaking up for him. And the reason why they actually pulled my information in the first place. And Jackie Johnson personally, when they arrested my assistant pastor, James Brooks, and he was a city commissioner, I went on the witness stand for him in terms of getting a bail hearing. Jackie Johnson questioned me at that time. She knew exactly when I left the church. She knew exactly when I left First Joint Grove Baptist Church. She knew everything about that situation. She knew that day was important. when I think about it now, that was the reason why they held me without bond. They knew that had I had the opportunity to get out, that I would have been able to find all of the information that would have been necessary to prove that these were bogus charges. This was nothing but a witch hunt. But they held me without bond. Listen, a pastor, a businessman in the community, well-established roots, and they denied bond for me. But you're unbelievable. I'm pastoring a church full of people. I have a business in downtown Jacksonville, which was an hour and a half away. I own and operated a marketing and public relations firm, a political consulting firm, representing some of the leading people, leading politicians, leading businesses in both Northeast Georgia, I'm sorry, Northeast Florida and Southeast Georgia. And those people denied me a bond. I mean, and the district attorney's office, Jackson Johnson's office, fought hard that denied me a bond. Where am I going to go? I'm one of the most popular figures in the southeastern United States. My company is well known. My work and my activism is well documented in the media. Where was I going to run? Well, where was I going to run? They refused to even give me a bond. So this whole thing, I understand, was well documented. There's no doubt in my mind that it was well orchestrated and well documented.
Wow. Wow. That is really ridiculous. And now the political figures and the other pastors and all that, you campaign for and different things of their political issues, did any of them stand in support and stand behind you, Bishop?
Yeah, there's several people, of course, you've had on your show Pastor Pharrell Malone, who is the president of the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, who has been a very vocal, outspoken supporter of mine. Several pastors out of Jacksonville, several pastors out of the Brunswick community. Many of them, they started an organization called the Kenneth Atkins Freedom Project. They started a fundraising. I most certainly hope people will consider giving to the fundraising. You've been very, yourself have been very, very helpful in helping me raise funds. And so it's just so many different things that people have been doing. I'm so grateful for. And of course, no, really, I would be amiss if I did not mention the fact that I have a great supporting wife, Stormy, who has been so helpful, supportive. Without her, I'm not sure where I would be.
Yes, yes. She's a beautiful woman, and I just commend her all the time because she is definitely a true example of a woman of God and a first lady. I mean, she is just beautiful, and her support for you is just really amazing. Okay, Bishop, I know you have about 30 seconds left, so in closing, what would you like to say to everyone?
Well, I would just tell everybody, thank you for supporting. Please consider giving to the fund. It's givesendgo.com. It is givesendgo.com/Bishop Kenneth. givesendgo.com/Bishop Kenneth.
All right, Bishop Atkins, thank you so much for giving us this update, and we will definitely keep you in our prayers. Keep your head up, stay focused, and just know freedom is coming. And we will talk soon. All right, everybody, that was Bishop Kenneth Atkins, who's wrongfully incarcerated in the state of Georgia. And the thing with his case, those of you that have been following his case on News Forum and on cries of innocence from behind prison walls, his case is really crazy because three key people in the Ahmaud Arbery case were also involved with his case. And, you know, one is Greg McMichael, who was the father of Travis McMichael. They were both convicted of murdering Ahmaud Arbery, modern-day lynching. And then you have Kevin Goff, who was Bishop's attorney. And that same attorney was the attorney for William Brady. And William Brady, he was, the friend. But Kevin Goff is the pastor that made that statement. You know, he wanted didn't want to see no more black pastors in the courtroom. And then Jackie Johnson, of course, is that DA, that corrupt DA who was indicted by the grand jury during the Ahmaud Arbery trial, during the Ahmaud Arbery modern-day lynching, because she failed to bring in those three racist murderers. She covered it up. She tried to sweep it under the rug. But thank God they were stupid enough to record everything on their phone, and that's what got them convicted. Boy, oh boy, I tell you. So justice was served in that case, and we're going to make sure justice is served in the case of Bishop Kenneth Atkins, that justice is served for Jerry Chambers, and that justice is served for Amaya, little Amaya Braxton, you know, because these hate crimes have to stop. It just has to stop. So we're going to bring on the Braxtons, and they're going to give their final thoughts for the night. And then I'm going to invite any of the WBNN hosts that are still listening tonight to come on and promote their shows. And then after that, we're going to have Ngozi time, and then I'm going to be right back at you to give my final thoughts. So don't you go nowhere. As they say in the beginning, don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. Your girl Chinchilla J will be right back after this. All right, Mr. and Mrs. Braxton, Mr. and Mrs. Chambers, thank you so much for coming on tonight and being guests on News Forum and sharing your son Jerry's story of injustice, racism, and hate crimes. What are your final thoughts for tonight? First, we're going to hear from you, Mrs. Braxton.
All right, Mrs. Chambers, are you there?
Okay.
Yes, I'm here. My final thoughts for the night, racism has got to end in this country, unfortunately. And in multiple communities, it is like a disease, a deadly disease, even if it's not physical death. It's like my son referenced that he felt like he lost his manhood. And we actually had the Commonwealth attorney in Powhatan inform us that had it been a death, they likely would have investigated. But unfortunately, you know, they hadn't done any investigation for our son. But, you know, our theme that we're going to try to spread throughout our community and throughout the nation is that hate cannot win. And we're going to continue to fight for justice.
Right. Awesome. Thank you so much, Mrs. Chambers. Mr. Chambers, what are your final thoughts for tonight?
Well, basically the same as my wife's. I mean, we cannot allow hate to win. We definitely will seek justice by all costs, and I'm hoping that people listening would understand that, I mean, this is real. I mean, this is not something that we can just turn our heads and say, oh, well, it just happened to happen. This is real. It's affecting our youth, and it's affecting the growth of the of America. So we need to stand together and fight it together as a team. And I think that's, you know, basically the bottom line. We need to fight and seek justice for all.
Yes. Thank you so much. Again, both of you for sharing your son's story. And you guys are going to be on the podcast. I'm not sure if you're doing Tuesday, if you're going to do tomorrow, but you can let me know later which day you prefer. And again, thank you so much for coming on tonight, sharing Jerry's story and your story, because you're a family. That's your son, and you're his parents, and you're standing up, speaking out for him and being a voice for justice for Jerry. So thank you so much. And before we bring on the WBNN hosts to promote their shows, I just want to say, like the FBI, you know, we had mentioned earlier on in the show when the FBI got involved with the case, they investigated it. And then they said that they didn't find any crime that was committed and that writing was not a crime. But although they wrote all over Jerry's face and body with those hate crimes, those racist slurs and everything, and even drew a swastika on his face, and yet the FBI said that was not a crime. That's not a crime? Yes, it is a crime. And they need to, retract that statement, because how could they not call that a crime? That was a crime when they wrote all over that teenager's body and face. That's definitely a crime. And all those racist remarks, that's a crime. That's not in fun. There's nothing fun about waking up seeing racist stuff all over your face and body, and then to have a dildo on you, on your face too, laying up there on your body. I mean, and then to see all of that stuff blasted over social media, that was a crime. And the FBI, which people call them Federal Bureau of Investigation, that's why I said in the beginning, I call them the Federal Bureau of Injustice, because that's exactly what they are, the Federal Bureau of Injustice. There is no justice with the FBI, nor the CIA, nor any branch of government in the United States of America. They're all corrupt, and it has to change. All right, and Gozy Time is next. All the hosts are gone, but they did get a chance to say where they, you know, when their show is earlier. And we thank them for calling in tonight and all the other callers. But we're going to go into Gozy Time. Then I will be right back at you. So don't you dare go nowhere. Keep it right there. Your girl Chillin' Chillin' Jay will be right back after this.
All right. The views and opinions of Chillin' Jay is not necessarily the views of Gozy Time and its affiliates. you know, this is a great, great show tonight. And we don't want to let her call. But the fact of the matter is that we have to make sure that we get this injustice together. And that's why we have shows like News Forum. Because, you know, even Chinchilla gets inspired. She just sounds just like Rumi Bakatuna getting there. Got a little inspired there. But, you know, it's all good because it's coming from a warm and right place. And we will get justice for Jerry Chambers. And we will get, you know, justice for Amaya Braxton and Bishop Kenneth Atkins and all the rest of the folk. Prentice, you know, when it comes calls in from Oklahoma, we will get justice for these people because we must do it before it's too late. Now, of course, tomorrow night we come back on this network with the Internet's longest-running hip-hop program, the legendary Merch City hip-hop program with four hosts. You know, the legendary Retro Mirzy and Will Holmes, as well as the Bronx Affair and Diamond Dazzle tomorrow night, 9:30 Eastern, daylight time right here at WBNN. So all you young folks out there, this is your platform. This is when you're able to express yourself, and it's all good. We have advertising through and Gozy Time Multimedia. Any comments, suggestions, or wonderful program tonight, Ole De Lay, back goes to myandgino.com. Now, of course, we are on Pinterest, and we are on Facebook. At Ola Della Delay with Gozy. We're at Twitter and Instagram and in Gozy Time, as well as Pinterest. And, of course, again, any comments, suggestions, or welcome program tonight, Ola Delay, that goes with mygmail.com. And I am your mother and father's favorite producer, Ola Della Delay with Gozy, saying goodnight and good luck. To all the folks out there at Armed Force Radio and sports on the constant basis, congratulations to Chinchilla Jay on her 52nd WBNN All-Time Connection record, third consecutive. This young lady is fourth all-time in the ONI Hall of Champions, outstanding. And now she is our fifth reigning commissioner of WBN and the broadcasting scheme and prowess. We give it back to her, and Chinchilla, you exactly got 3 minutes left to go in the program, and let the clock hit you.
Okay, thank you, Brother L. All right, I'd like to thank everybody that called in tonight. Thank you to my guests, Mr. and Mrs. Chambers, the parents of Jerry Chambers, the 16-year-old back in 2020, who was wronged by people he thought were friends. Yet they committed hate crimes against him, and the state of Virginia has done nothing but try to cover it up, and that has to stop. It's going to be it's already uncovered. So no longer can be swept underneath the rug, so justice will be served. Thank you to Princess Pons and for calling in tonight from prison life, from prison. And, wow, all the other callers, Michelle, who called in, whose husband is wrongfully incarcerated in Detroit. And we just want to encourage all of you that are listening tonight, if you have cases of injustice, be a voice. Don't sit back and allow injustices to continue to happen and you continue to accept it. It's unacceptable. I don't care what type of injustice it is. Injustice is injustice is injustice. And all forms of injustice